Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's hour two. We have breaking news. The show that delivers breaking news on a regular basis, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, to the delight of Joy Taylor, Matt Nagy has announced that Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback this week. So it's in a bit of irony, or maybe coincidence, not irony. I talked to former Bears coach Mark Trestman last night. I had a 30-minute conversation. Fascinating. It's on my little podcast network. Really interesting guy. So he was the best coach in Canadian Football League history. He was with Gruden during the Rich Gannon MVP years. Coached the Bears a couple years. Mark's very, very savvy. And listen to him talk quarterbacks. It's like a language. He'd use terms I'd never even heard before. And you should listen to it. But he had talked about Justin Fields, and he talks about all these young quarterbacks. Some he's not high on, some he is, but he said, well, Justin Fields, and it was really interesting because he and Matt Nagy know each other, and he said, it's time to play Justin Fields. He said, there's a lot of things I'm seeing that I really, really like, and he's getting through them every week. And so Matt Nagy this morning, probably just listened to the podcast, said, I got to start him, and he's starting him, but he really liked Justin Fields. And he wasn't saying it because he used to coach Chicago. They fired him. There was no reason that he had to show any love, but he kept saying, there's just a lot of components here with Justin Fields I really like, and I think it's time to go now. It's time. And by the way, he's not one of these that believes everybody has to start when they're young. There's some guys that just aren't ready. They're careless. Zach Wilson, by the way, he's careless with a football. Justin Fields is going to start. And I would say this, I don't see him as a playoff team, but I think the primary issue with this team, my concern is I don't like this offensive line at all. I do think they have a star receiver. I like their back. They have a young tight end I like. They've drafted the linebacking position pretty well. I still think this organization can't figure out the cap. I mean, they're not paying their quarterbacks, and they had to let Kyle Fuller go a corner. How the hell does that work? If you're not paying your quarterback, I mean, good God, the Rams are still paying Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, and they can afford Aaron Donald, Robert Woods, Jalen Ramsey. So the front office worries me with this franchise. I really like Matt Nagy, and I think Justin Fields is a kid. It's going to be bumpy. There's going to be a lot of turbulence, but this is probably the time to do it now. So give him the franchise. Let's go. And I will say this. When your offensive line is not good, and let's just say in Chicago it's a work in progress, you're probably better off with more juice at quarterback, and Justin Fields can move, and Dalton can't, and Nick Foles can't. So the reality is when the weakness of your team is protecting the quarterback, you're probably better off this morning having a quarterback that can run, because whoever's quarterback in this team is going to be on the run. Now, he still is a quarterback who doesn't pick up a lot of hot rushers. He doesn't. He's young. He doesn't see it. We've seen him almost get a head taken off a couple times. He's not there yet, but it's probably time to do it. And it's fun. This is a great sports city. He's a lively athlete. This is the year to make a bunch of mistakes. It's just make a bunch of mistakes. I hope, I will say this though, I know y'all want to run Matt Nagy out of town. Do you want Justin Fields to have a new coach, a new coordinator, and a new playbook next year? Don't go to Twitter, which isn't real life to begin with, and crush them when they have bad series. This is the reality. This is going to be a really turbulent flight. We're talking winter, and you're landing in O'Hare, and there's a storm coming in. It's going to be really turbulent. So understand that. Understand that you want Matt Nagy fired. The worst thing you can give a young quarterback in year two, new playbook, new coach, new this, new that. All these guys that are succeeding, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, who was terrible his first year. Look at all the quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, what have they had? No chaos. Firing a coach is chaos. And none of these young guys, in my opinion, can overcome it unless you're Andrew Luck and it forced him out of the game. All right. A Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Be a sub above. Listen, this is where you go in America for breaking news. It's almost as if news waits for our show to start, and then they just give it to us. Joel Klatt, we have a massive, massive college football weekend, and let's give some love to the hardy folk in the Big Ten, because Penn State and Iowa, I've watched them both play, are both – this is the first Iowa team?
No, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to compliment Iowa, ever, actually. So
this is a real team.
I'm sorry?
They're a real football team.
Not the fake ID of college football?
They still carry it on them to clubs.
No, that's not true.
They're 20, like my daughter, they're 21 and they've got the real one too.
I love what Iowa is doing, and I love what Penn State is doing. And this conference, by the way, and it's not even just the conference, because it's really just Iowa from the Western Division.
Yeah.
The East, though, the East has basically four top 10 teams at this point. They've got Ohio State, who still can be considered in that realm. They've got Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State now, who's been playing terrific football. So that side of the division is incredible. And if, by the way, if you're a Buckeye fan, how do you overcome an early loss at a conference with all of these teams that you could beat and then get yourself right back into playoff position?
Now I'm not a member of the American media. I am closer to the mafia than the media. Let's be honest about
interesting.
That.
Interesting. By the way, you know who didn't have a lot of structure early in his NFL career but seems to be succeeding just fine?
Who?
Baker Mayfield. Just overcame everything you were talking about. These guys, they need structure. They don't need coaching changes.
Really?
This guy had coaching changes, and he succeeded. And he went to a putrid organization that had no success, and now he's clearly doing well. Just wanted to throw that in there, but please continue.
Okay, so let me say this. And this is a great game. Iowa-Penn State's a great game. I went to dinner with a buddy last night whose son, every year, his dad will take him to a college football game every year in the country. He lives in L.A.
That's awesome.
And he chose this one. And his dad said, you know how hard it is to get to Iowa?
It's true.
Can't you pick, like, Columbus? But my point is, with James Franklin, now I'm not going to start something here. And I don't like when the media does this. But with my labyrinth of amazing sourcing, I'm going to throw this out there.
Let's hear it.
This is very important for Penn State, because if James Franklin's going to continue to be the number one target for USC, and I believe it is,
okay,
he can't lay an egg in these games. I think, I'm just saying, this.
So what's a
Penn State staff is focused. I am calling for an upset. Penn State going into Iowa and winning.
Well, I won't be surprised if either of these teams win. Both are riding long, long winning streaks dating back to last season. In fact, Penn State's last loss was to this Iowa team a year ago, before Sean Clifford started playing better and not turned the football over. Both teams have found the efficiency on the offensive side in order to allow their defenses to shine. So you've got the second best scoring defense in the country in Iowa, the third best scoring defense in Penn State, and they do it very different ways. And I love kind of the juxtaposition between the two, because Penn State's winning on defense with athleticism, multiple looks, confusion. They've got guys in the back end that I just love. Joey Porter Jr. at the corner, I really like him. Jaquan Brisker, their safety, excellent player, long, athletic. They blitz a lot of guys, give a lot of looks. And then Iowa just sits there in the same defense, like lurking in the corn, the exact same defense almost every single snap. And they act like a boa constrictor. They just kind of suffocate you. They're like, fine, yeah, that was nice. Good four-yard gain. Okay, now you got 4 yards. Okay, now you got a first down. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, wait, we just threw another interception because it was a tip pass and all the eyes are in the backfield. I can't wait for this game. And it's the biggest game in a great environment since the mid-80s.
Oh, Kinnick Stadium's great.
It's amazing.
Amazing. The Children's Hospital.
Yes.
It is weird. Did I ever tell you my story? I don't want to waste your time, America, but I'm fairly fascinating. So the point is, I was driving in a bus.
I was going to say, does it involve you with a famous person at dinner? Because that's basically every story you tell.
So I was in a bus in Iowa.
Okay.
I was at the other place. I think they went broke. And I was in a bus. I was on a show called Sports Nation. And I was on a bus with the crew. And we drove through Iowa. We stayed the night there.
Okay.
They have a great pizza place that had aviation theme. It was anyway. And we drove through, and Iowa had the most amazing sunset I'd ever seen. There's no mountains out there to block it. And I literally sat there, and I was sitting there with the crew, and I was like, oh, I get it. I get Iowa. Like, this in the summer, those long summers, it was stunning. And I'm going to tell you something. We always talk about great American venues.
Mm.
There may not be a better, and I'm dead serious on this. Kinnick Stadium is about, listen, I've had my issues with Iowa. That is going to be on television. That is going to be an it's going to be an unbelievable environment.
By the way, the sun will go down because it's actually
in the day.
Folks, just, I know Gus and I are always at noon Eastern. This game's actually at 4 Eastern. So we will see the sunset during the game. It'll end at night. Like, this is kind of, and I totally agree with you. This stadium, there are a few venues in college football that are romantic. This is one of them.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the Rose Bowl is what it is, in particular for that game. But this is one of those venues, and this modern tradition with the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
It's going to be an amazing environment. I can't wait for it, and it should be a great game.
Okay, let's segue to a couple things here. First of all, Ed O, great guy, great recruiter, great story. Basically, Ole Miss didn't work. Take out Joe Burrow, not really working. I got nothing against him. He's a nice man. He's a great recruiter. Yeah. I've always thought he's a coordinator who, because of his story, his history in Louisiana, they elevate him. There's nothing wrong with that. He won a title. He deserves every bit of it. But in that conference, I don't think Ed O is a head coach. I'm sorry. And the rumor is this morning he's going to get whacked. I just think it's the right move.
It's hard to defend his record. And you can say, what do you mean? He won a national championship. He struck lightning in a bottle with a transfer quarterback that had a magical season with a young coordinator that was doing things that was very unique in the conference offensively. They had great weapons around him. That was a lightning in a bottle year. That was one of the great teams in college football history that just kind of manifested. Now, he has a lot to do with that, but then he lost those two coordinators, Joe Brady and Dave Aranda. Remember, Dave Aranda took the job at Baylor now, and he's doing a nice job at Baylor. So he had to retool his staff, and he hires guys that he had to fire the next year, including Bo Pelini, who just was a disaster defensively. If you take, and I know this is not fair to do, but if you look at his record at LSU and you take the 15-0 out, it's basically like 33-19-ish. It's not great.
No, and remember, the standard at LSU is very high. It's a top three recruiting program in the country. USC, Alabama,
and
LSU,
and they
Ohio
measure
State.
Themselves with Alabama. You know, how are we competing with Alabama? Well, they're not.
By the way, you say it's not fair. It's totally fair. I always said this. If you, because I always have the take out the best and worst scenario. So if you take Matt Ryan.
Right, throw out the bottom and top.
Right, like a real estate. You're in real estate for 20 years. Take out your best year, you sold a mansion. Take out your worst year, your first year, you were lost. Then the remaining 18 years, that's what you are.
Okay.
And the same thing with Matt Ryan. Take out his MVP year with Kyle Shanahan. Take out his rookie year. What is he? He's a B-plus quarterback. He's not an A. So if you take out the Joe Burrow remarkable year, he's won 56% of his games at USC, LSU. It's not good enough. It's okay.
And by the way, you can also throw out the three Ole Miss years and then throw out the Joe Burrow year, and you see what he is, and he's basically kind of a 600 coach.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, a 600 winning percentage does not work at LSU, not with the standard that they've set within the sport.
All right. You and I have been steadfast in our pro Jim Harbaugh support.
True.
We have taken a lot of arrows here, but I put up that Captain America shield. I protect Klatt. Is that Harbaugh's quirky? He's a little different. And the fair criticism is, how come he can't get the quarterback position right?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
But I watch him now. They've got an identity.
They do. You know what's interesting? And we saw him last weekend, you know, so I finally got to sink my teeth into this version of Michigan as opposed to what I had been covering over the last couple of years. And it's remarkably different. And I think that should be communicated because he did something that's very difficult to do. It didn't work for Mack Brown at Texas when he tried to go young on the staff
and change
everything up. Remember, around 2012, he hired Manny Diaz. He hired Brian Harsin as coordinators. Didn't work out. Bob Stoops tried this. It did work out when he brought Lincoln Riley in and he changed philosophy and changed identity. What Jim Harbaugh has done is he has gotten much more youthful on his staff. So all 10 assistant coaches are under 45 years old. His defensive coordinator is a 34-year-old from the Ravens, Mike McDonald, who's doing things defensively that they're going to help them in the back end of this season. And they have an identity on the offensive side. I credit them a great deal what they did against Wisconsin. It's very easy to just throw your run game out and say, we can't run it against Wisconsin. And they were never going to run it great against Wisconsin. But you know what they did? They ran it enough to where the play action pass was effective, and they put the second and third level defenders in conflict, and they were able to win because of it. So, you know, listen, I don't know if it's the year for Michigan. All I know is that the changes that they've made have really benefited that program. The program, as they currently sit, is far better off than they were a year ago or maybe even 2 years ago.
Yeah, Big Ten's having a very good year. They are. Iowa's real. Penn State's real. Michigan's back. Ohio State's always viable. And you know, you and I both like Mel Tucker.
That's right.
He's won a lot of games as a dog. Let me throw this out. Steve Sarkisian faces Oklahoma this weekend.
Yes.
As you pointed out correctly, I got to give Klatt the occasional tip of the cap.
Appreciate it.
Okay? Sometimes he hits the corners and he deserves it. Okay? You got to call, you know, umpire comes out. That's a strike.
It's very friendly.
Oklahoma's offensive line, bit of a mess.
Yep.
Texas is athletic, but these are mostly not Sark's guys. Do they have a chance in this space?
They do have a chance this week because the offense is vastly different since they made the change at quarterback. They went from Hudson Card to Casey Thompson,
yes,
and now they're averaging somewhere over 50 points per game with Casey Thompson and a quarterback. They've also made a more of a commitment to Bijan Robinson, the running back. I think Bijan Robinson, their running back, is probably the best player overall in college football.
He's insane.
Whether he wins a Heisman Trophy or not, is not. Remember, that award is something different than the best player.
He is a great talent.
If he touches the ball 30 times against Oklahoma, Oklahoma's going to have a really hard time beating them. Now, the worst unit on the field is going to be Texas's defense this weekend.
But those aren't Sark's guys. He inherited a weird defense.
And I don't think it should be an indictment on him. That's just what he's got to work around, is that defense. And I think offensively they'll be able to keep up. This should be a great game, regardless of what's going on with these two programs. They generally play a one-possession game. It's not going to shock me at all if Texas wins this game, because Oklahoma just has not gotten out of the fog of what they've kind of been so far early in this season. Now, they've got great potential, but it won't surprise me at all if Texas were to win this game.
I'm looking over my notes here. We hit on Edo. The Big Ten's great. I'm calling the Penn State upset. Michigan.
All right. Watch out for Syracuse at home against Wake.
What do you
almost
mean?
Upset of the week.
There's no value in almost anything.
Sure, there is.
I don't see. That's what
they're a road.
No,
they're a home dog.
Time out.
At a weird place.
That's like going to a restaurant and saying, you know what? It was almost a great meal. There's no value in almost.
It's so fascinating.
Call the upset. Are you calling the upset?
It's an almost upset. They're a home dog. That means they cover. Do I have to spell it out for you? Do we have to actually do this?
By the way, okay.
That means they cover. Syracuse covers against Wake. Maybe an outright win.
Okay. Before you go.
By the way, everybody I've ever talked to that has gone to dinner with you, almost a good meal.
See, that kind of cheap shot ruins what was a really friendly 15 minutes.
You know, I want to agree with you, but it was just there for the taking,
so I
took it.
You know who texted me last week? Fred Couples. He said he's done with you and he'd like to meet me. Okay, so hey, Klatt, more breaking news.
Bring it. I would love to hear it.
Breaking news.
I swear to God, folks, America's executives, wait for this show
This
to
is
start.
It. Come on, what do we got?
Joy. I'm going to give it to Joy.
Joy.
Do I have?
Okay, I do.
The Patriots, you don't have to, but I thought it would be nice.
The Patriots are trading Stephon Gilmore.
Oh wow!
To the Carolina Panthers for a 6th-round pick. Now that's interesting, because the Panthers just acquired another corner last week, C.J. Henderson from Jacksonville.
Right.
So what that tells you is J.C. Horn, who you loved, it's a great corner, the rookie. He's hurt. He's out for the year.
Yes.
And it also tells you they think in that building. They think it's the playoff team.
That's right.
They're giving up draft picks. So Carolina's looking around and
going, make moves to win now. They believe in Sam Darnold. They believe in what they have.
Boom. All right. Give you a little bit more love after that. Because you're right on that. What they're saying is, we're going to win with Darnold. We can win this division. That's what this move is saying.
Every time Sam Darnold plays well and that organization wins a football game, it's a further indictment of the New York Jets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fred Couples didn't really text me.
That's true.
I just lost my...
He probably has texted me, though. Loves their segments. Freddie?
Should. Good seeing you, Klatt.
Talk to you soon.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This week, Thursday Night Football comes to Fox as Matthew Stafford and the Rams take on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Tomorrow, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
That's an incredible Thursday Night Football game. We have dubbed it the greatest Thursday Night Football game ever played. Hopefully, the marketing department at this company understands the gravitas of this. This is not Jags-Titans 7 years ago. This is gigantic. All right, so there was just a move made on Stephon Gilmore, and it's a very telling move. So the Carolina Panthers last week gave up a third-round pick to get a corner, C.J. Henderson, because they drafted a corner, J.C. Horn, and he broke his foot. Now, nobody knows if he's going to play this year. They just gave up a sixth-round pick to get Stephon Gilmore. Now, Gilmore's out of shape, not in game shape, not ready to play. He'll be ready to play November. It's very interesting, though. It's a bad year in the upcoming draft for corners. There's one great one, Derek Stingley for LSU. He just broke his foot, and his tape's not been good this year. He was better last year. So, it's not a good year for corners. That's an area of need. So now they drafted J.C. Horn. They have Stephon Gilmore. They have C.J. Henderson. This defense is now elite. You could argue they could get a defensive tackle next year for more depth, but they don't need any help. The Carolina Panthers have a championship defense. And what they're telling you by doing this, they think they can win now. And they think Gilmore late in the year can match up if they have to face the Buccaneers and all those receivers. Carolina is telling you this rebuild is going faster than they think. They have just finished their defense. Next year, they're going to go get an interior offensive lineman. It's a great year for guards and centers in the draft. They could go in free agency. This is interesting. So just look at what they're doing. They're giving up good draft picks to get corners. They think that's the missing piece. Sam Darnold's working. They can score enough. And they probably played the Cowboys and said, we're not good enough at corner. We're just not good enough at that position because they're really good in the front seven. So that's interesting stuff. Weather's changing. Stay comfortable no matter what. With Tommy John underwear, 16 million pairs sold. 20% off. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News. Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers caused quite a little fuss with their exchange on Sunday, and Aaron Rodgers heaping praise on Mike Tomlin, of course. And Rodgers discussed the rumors on the Pat McAfee show.
I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. I have been for a long time. I like the way that he speaks about his team. I like the way that he goes about his business. I like his confidence. I've heard nothing but good things from guys that have played there. I like Mike Tomlin. Look, I'm just speaking the truth. They asked me a question about Mike Tomlin. I'm going to tell them how I feel about Mike Tomlin. If you want to take that and run with it and say I'm, angling for some sort of next team or something, I'm not. I'm just answering a question about my respect for Mike and what he's accomplished in the league.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Packers would prefer to send him to
the
AFC.
Here's the problem, and you mentioned this earlier. This is a problem when you let everyone know how smart you are. Can't play stupid. There's an exchange here. Everything in life is about balance, right? There's no consequence. There's nothing without consequence. If we know that you're smart, which we know Aaron Rodgers is, you don't get the opportunity to host Jeopardy by being a dum-dum.
All affairs start with what? Flirting. Look at that.
I mean, that is, woo.
I mean, folks, Aaron is very...
That's the setup for the video right there.
That is...
Listen, I love it. Give me all of this. I am here for it.
Yep.
Sign me up.
And we would be... Pittsburgh would be... Here's the other thing. You always have to think about this. So when Peyton Manning or Tom Brady are in your division, what you do as a GM is, we've got to get pass rushers.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, literally, Brady, the Jets always drafted defensive linemen. The Bills paid a fortune for Mario Williams. The Dolphins, your brother. When you have a Brady, you have to think about your division first. So if you're the Steelers, your division now has a star in Lamar, an emerging star in Joe Burrow, and the Cleveland Browns are not going anywhere.
Right.
They have a great roster. You're going to put your hands in a college quarterback? No way you're going to go out and get a star and make you relevant. This brand is too big to put it in the hands of some quarterback who's 22 years old with a 50% hit rate.
Well, it's just not the same division anymore.
No.
You could do that potentially when the Bengals were just completely dysfunctional without a quarterback, when the Browns were habitually a disaster, which was the case for a very long time. As you mentioned, the Ravens are always just competitive and they're a well-run organization. So they were always going to be a problem.
But they weren't that dynamic at quarterback.
No, So now they are. You win your division first, and you're absolutely right. Also, the Packers don't want to send Aaron Rodgers to the NFC. Aaron Rodgers, being the smart man that he is,
knows it. Also,
and Pittsburgh is a great organization.
And what are they missing?
And as he mentions, with my keen ear, they treat their players how?
It's very pro player.
Very pro player. Mike Tomlin treats his players in a very very open, some would say too open kind of exchange with players. He's very pro player. It's all about personality. Yeah. There's no limit on the type of personality that you can be in Pittsburgh. And he is obviously has a problem with that at the Packers.
Think about this. When Brady Joy went to the Buccaneers, the big questions were offensive line, but there was a lot of interesting parts and a good defense. What are our questions with the Steelers? Offensive line, but a lot of good parts, especially on defense. So, I mean, when you went there, that was the big issue. So Tom went there, and they signed a right tackle. They drafted him. He's been great. So the offensive line's been fixed. Well, Pittsburgh addressed the offensive line this year. So if Aaron came in, he'd come in with seasoned offensive linemen, a second camp. And they'd probably, by the way, probably draft another. Because the franchise is really fine.
I mean, the big issue in Pittsburgh outside of Ben Roethlisberger is they are incapable of running the ball. Yeah. So, like, you have to fix that regardless of whether it's Aaron Rodgers. Because let's not pretend like Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a great run game. He does. So that's the biggest thing outside of Ben Roethlisberger that you have to fix. And, I love it. Here's the bottom line. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be in Green Bay next year.
He's not. We know that.
Don't get fooled by this happy-go-lucky Aaron. Aaron is compartmentalizing, as intelligent people are and successful people do. We didn't forget everything that happened in the offseason. Okay, this is a temporary situation. I do believe he's in Green Bay for this year and focused on the here and now, but he's going to plant his seeds. And listen, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
So the Raiders made a lot of changes to their offensive line, speaking of offensive lines, this offseason, and John Gruden knows they're still a work in progress.
We're not going to hit the panic button. We got to keep coaching. We got to keep developing these guys. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the medicine is what we all need. You know, we all need the taste of that medicine, even though we don't like the taste. You know, you got to get back to work. You got to get back on the horse. You know, that horse will throw you off once in a while. And if you know anything about Bosa and some of these guys in this league, they're pretty good at throwing you off your horse. So you got to be mentally tough and keep fighting.
Well, they got some of that medicine and horse action this weekend. He was sacked 4 times, Derek Carr, and they averaged 3.8 yards per carry on the ground against the Chargers.
One of my favorite bets of the week, the Raiders bounce back.
Five and a half points. Well, they host the Bears this Sunday in Justin Fields' first official start as the official starter.
That's a hard.
They're favored by 5.5.
I like the Raiders in that space.
5.5?
Well, listen again. When you not only lose, but you really, not only did you lose, but you got called out. Joey Bosa is like Derek Carr, soft. So Derek Carr hears that and is like, I'm going to put a little extra time in practice. It's one thing to get beat, but it's one thing when you get called out for your physicality or lack of it.
I mean,
kind of called him out.
He did.
Curled up.
He did. I wouldn't describe Derek Carr as a soft.
No, I don't think so. I think Derek Carr, listen, who wants to get hit by a Bosa?
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so like you get hit and you curl up. Yeah, so does Brady. When he sees a guy coming, he curls up so he didn't take the blow.
Well, yeah, and the quarterbacks that don't do that.
Or get hurt.
Get hurt.
So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I do think that you're going to bounce back. And look, he's right. This is a work in progress. Yeah. It's not going to be perfect every single week, especially when you have someone like Bosa chasing you down. But Derek Carr has been pressured 44 times this season. That's the 5th most in the NFL. And he's taken 28 hits this season, which is the 4th most in the NFL. So they do still have some work to do. All right, big fight this weekend. I'm going. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder will face off for the 3rd time this Saturday in Las Vegas. After Wilder accused Fury of cheating in the 2nd bout, Fury decided to poke the bear a little bit.
Well, I'm going to cheat again because I'm going to smash his face in. According to him, that's cheating because he's not supposed to lose. I loaded the gloves with horseshoes and dynamite.
I actually think I'm going to predict this.
Okay.
I think Wilder wins in a decision. Wilder, we were at the last fight.
Yes.
Wilder wore that ridiculous pre-fight ensemble.
The entire pre-fight was utterly ridiculous.
He was,
but yes,
and
he was
acknowledged
in a big, heavy outfit.
Later, he was exhausted and fatigued because it was like wearing in this heat.
You remember that's when he had like the big like king hat with the red.
I'm going to take Wilder. Outfit. in a very close decision. No knockdowns, good punches landed. But I think Wilder and Fury are a closer match than their previous fight, and I think Wilder wins by decision.
I think I agree with that. The first fight was at Staples in 2018, ended in a draw. The second fight we were at was in Las Vegas, ended with Fury winning in a TKO victory in the seventh round. It was a very exciting fight, though. But I will say, though, immediately you could notice that Fury was in much better shape.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see it in his back. Like, he was ready to fight, and obviously, I don't know how much I'm going to give, you know, Wilder that whole outfit excuse, but they were in it for a long time because that entrance was absurd. And I love all the pageantry and pomp and circumstance. You're not so much into that, but yeah, it took like 20 minutes to get them out to the ring. But Fury Wilder 3 is this Saturday at 9 Eastern, live on pay-per-view and on the Fox Sports app, according to Fox Bet. Fury is currently favored at minus 333. Wilder is at plus 260, draw plus 2200. But I'm excited to see the trilogy fight this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right. Good stuff. Sandwiches here yet? I have. You start breaking so many stories during the show and you get a hunger.
15 minutes.
I mean, seriously. I mean, how many stories do we break on this show? Exhausting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Sandwiches have arrived. All is good. Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card end of the first year automatically. Discover.com/yes. So a couple of NFL pieces of news today. All sorts of stuff. The NBA came out with their annual GM survey, and I've got several bones to pick with it. Some of the stuff is obvious, but, you know, it's interesting. The Brooklyn Nets are favored to win the championship, which I think is completely laughable. They have no rim defender, still have a weak bench. You know, KD and Kyrie are always hurt, and James Harden has never had a great playoff moment. There's nothing that tells me they could beat the Lakers, where Anthony Davis has dominated a postseason 2 years ago in the bubble, where LeBron is LeBron. It's a championship organization. They play with confidence of a champion. They always have. But it's interesting. 10 years ago, there were a lot of arguments to be made. I wasn't making them, but I heard it from people I respected that LeBron and KD were like one and the same. It was one and 1A. That Durant was the greater offensive performer, the greater scorer, which I certainly could make that argument. And LeBron was the better overall player, the better physical presence. He can do so many things. But, you know, it's not that I lack sympathy. I don't. If you had a tough childhood, I do think it takes years, maybe a decade or two, to get out of it. But I always say this, by the time you're 45 years old, you've made so many choices in your life. You know, your life is largely dictated, regardless of your childhood, it's largely dictated on the thousands of choices you make a week in your life. When you're 23, I got your back. 33, I still understand the childhood. 43, your life is yours. And when I look at pro sports, a lot of it's the same. I will give you a pass. The first team you go to is a mess. You're drafted by an incompetent owner and GM. But Kevin Durant and LeBron have been in this league now long enough where their careers are now overwhelmingly formed by their choices. No more blame. No more victimization. They've been in this league for a long time. They've got the best agents, the best reps. They got a lot of money. They got a brand. Players know what they can and can't do. So 10 years ago, there was a lot of LeBron, KD are the same guy. Well, LeBron now is not the same guy. He's got a ring with the Lakers. I think they should be favored to win the second. Brooklyn is a hot mess this morning because of Kyrie. And it really comes down to choices. One of the things LeBron, and I'm not sure he's ever been given credit for this, but LeBron's made really good choices. So he inherited, he was drafted by Cleveland. There's nothing he could do for 7 years. 7 years of, you know, Kevin Durant inherited eventually Westbrook and Harden. LeBron, 7 years, didn't have a single all-star of note. Then LeBron chose not just D. Wade, great character, smart player, championship ball player, not just Chris Bosh, one of the smartest NBA players in the last 20 years, not just appealed to get Ray Allen and Shea Battier, but he also went and got Eric Spoelstra, who, by the way, in this GM survey is considered the best coach, and he went and hooked his career to Pat Riley. Really good choices. So then he goes back to Cleveland. Very smart. Remember what he did? I don't want the Andrew Wiggins pick. I want Kevin Love. He made the right choice. He didn't want the flashy picks. He said, we got Kyrie. I'll get Kyrie right. Give me Kevin Love. I want veterans, veteran wins. So again, very good choices. He won a championship. Now at this point, Kyrie's brand was talented and hurt a lot, but it wasn't kooky. Then Kyrie gets kooky and LeBron's like, I'm out. I'm going to go to Los Angeles. And you say to yourself, well, I don't know, that choice, it was a great decision. LeBron is now worth over $750 million. He will be a billionaire here in the next couple of years unless the market tanks. It was great for his career. He won a title. He went to a big brand with a bunch of young players. He and Magic Johnson had made the decision, going to get rid of most of these young guys and rebuild. We'll get stars here. Kevin Durant now. Let's go to Kevin Durant's career. And his career now is his choices. So his personality tends to be kind of hot and emotional. He wants out of the Westbrook thing, and he joins Golden State. I was here for that. I get it. But then he makes a decision. This is a really bad choice to leave the most selfless superstar in the game, Steph Curry, one of the smartest coaches, one of the best GMs, one of the quietest, like, stars that's not a superstar, Klay Thompson. He doesn't have to be physical because he's got Draymond Green, who's always been the bouncer at this nightclub. And he leaves that for Kyrie. Now, you could say, well, LeBron had Kyrie. No. We didn't know Kyrie was a flat earther then. We just knew he was talented and often hurt. But Kevin put his arms around Kyrie after he bailed on LeBron, after he blew up the Celtics, after the flat earth comments. Like, you knew this now. That was a bad choice. You hitched your career from Steph Curry to Kyrie Irving. And I'm not a backseat driver here. I said it when it happened. That is a bad choice. I don't want to hear about I'm a wanderer. I just want a ball. If you just want a ball, then you want a ball with the best players in the world that you can count on to get vaccinated and be in the arena. So life early in your life is not really about your choices. It's about the choices your parents make or people that are supervising you make. But as you age in life, and as an athlete, when you get into year 10, year 15, year 18, your career is your choices. And I'm not disputing that Kevin Durant is a great talent. He's a remarkable scorer. But now he's in a situation, this is a mess. And they don't even know if this team's been trying to trade Kyrie, by the way, under the radar for about 6 months. They know it's a disaster. And last year, Kevin Durant goes to the playoffs, and bless his gifted heart, was remarkable. But he was exhausted. You were asking him to play 40 minutes with no bench, no rim protector. And so when you look at LeBron and KD's career, they were just conjoined. And I think LeBron has moved past KD in all these championships because he simply made better choices, better basketball choices, better business choices, better teammate choices. And you sort of, you know, you get what you get over the course of time. You will define your life. And I think KD made a horrible decision hitching his career to Kyrie, and I've said it for a year. I've said it for a year and a half. It was ever since the day happened. I hated it, and here we are today. The Kyrie news now, they don't know if he's going to be, he won't be able to practice with a team on the road, can't practice in New York, don't know if he's going to play. Toronto, you can't, unvaccinated can't, New York can't, Los Angeles can't. And by the way, that is not, as Kyrie said, a private story. These are public facilities. You're a public-facing person in a public league. Like, that's like the mayor saying, it's a private No. You're a basketball star, and you have municipalities now very publicly saying, unvaxxed can't play. Unvaxxed can't practice. It's not a private story. It's very public. All right, I'm done with my rant. I got some Hall's mentholatum right here, Joy.
You sound better.
I sound okay. It's fine. It was, not everything's perfect. Some days the hair is bad. Always something that's off. You just got to, you know what?
You play hurt.
Exactly. It's exactly what we're doing today. We are playing hurt. Thanks to Jersey Mike subs. Be a sub above. That was fantastic. Coming up last hour, there's a lot of things happening in the NFL right now. Some trades. Gilmore now to the Carolina Panthers. That's a real thing. That means Seattle's out of it, and their corners will remain bad for the remainder of the season if they can't make a move at the trade deadline. All right, live in Los Angeles. Hour 3 is coming. It's the Herd.